Good morning to you all. It's always a pleasure to come back to the Society's meeting to share a little bit of our work in southern Brazil. I'm here today, this morning, sharing with you research results from my master's student, Giovanni Jurado Davila. That's the second name there. I guess I can use the pointer here. He's originally from Colombia, and he finished his work last year. We're going to talk a little bit about our highland soils, which might surprise you. In Brazil, we have temperate climates and mountains. In these regions, we have very different soils in comparison to the most talked about oxy soils of central Brazil. But because of the carbon content, they're of interest to us. So Brazil has made a pledge in compliance to the climate conference, climate treaty, international climate treaty, to control carbon or greenhouse gas emissions in the long run. I believe it's a 30% reduction pledge over 20 years, and a large part of it involves knowledge of our carbon content, soil carbon content, and greenhouse gas emissions. You know that, as in many other countries, the agricultural sector plays a key role in the greenhouse gas balance, and a key factor in this process is the land use, current land use or land use changes that take place. Until recently in Brazil, there was a lack of incentive for update of this information, the soil carbon data. Our soil surveys are limited in scope, and they are not in a fine detail. They are not as detailed as we would like. And our inventory data lacks, our soil survey data usually lacks soil carbon and soil bulk density information that is key, that is central to inventory studies. So go back a little bit in time and show you that in the last 20 years or so, there's been some renewed interest in soil carbon stocks in Brazil. The first study that was published in the Soil Society of America journal is Bernou and his collaborators that did a national map of soil carbon stocks back in 2003, as you can see in the left here. This has been regularly updated by the Embrapa. This is the Brazilian National Ag Research Company. And you see that we have increased a little bit on the refinement or the detail in the soil carbon maps. The approaches are somewhat different, but you see that there's a continuous interest in updating the soil carbon maps for the national greenhouse gas inventory. I come from the southern part of Brazil, the southernmost state, and we, in the left here, you see part of the national study by Bernou. We just clipped that part of the state map so that we have an idea of what kinds of ranges of carbon, soil carbon stocks we can find in our state. That was the first soil carbon map that we could identify. And later on, after a few years, we have been able to refine these maps on a state scale. As you can see, 2004 and 2009, that's when we updated these maps using updated soil survey maps, although the data, as I said, is not exactly compatible with a full soil carbon inventory. So what we did in Giovanni's master's study was to focus on a region of interest. That's the high altitude grasslands that we have in the northeastern part of the state. And you see the elevations are quite high. The state is usually flat, rolling hill terrain. But in the northeastern part, we have mountains, altitude ranging from 950 to 1300 meters. Climate, it's subtropical humid, almost temperate, and occasional frost, especially some frosts and occasional snow happens in that area. And you see here that we have a high precipitation, annual precipitation, that is spread out evenly throughout the year. So this area is quite humid throughout the year. Current land use, as you can see, the grasslands dominate and the woodland is mixed in a mosaic type of situation. But agriculture and some of these agricultural fields are under fallow for a couple of years, amounts to about a third of the land use in this area. And there's growing use under, of soils under, of land under forestry. So the total area of our study area is about 1 million hectares. The soils that we find in this region, they vary from very shallow orthons in the soil taxonomy, and they transition to deeper udepths and udults that are deeper, and the udults cannot be seen here, so I just put the deeper soil to the right. But these topo sequences are quite common in this area. They are a dominant geomorphic feature in this area. Other soils that occur in smaller areas, patches, I would say, as inclusions in the soil mapping units, are histosols. And here's a sample of what we found when we did our field work. Somewhat deeper soils occurring in wet areas associated with what we call humid grasslands, and that sometimes are mostly bogs. So our research question was how much carbon is stored in the soils, the compost, as we say, grassland soils, and are there differences associated with land uses or land use change that can be identified to provide a better estimate of carbon in this area. So what we did is we planned a field study comprising most of the soil mapping units and land uses that I previously identified, but we also took advantage of legacy data from previous studies. As you can see, dumbing, there's something wrong here, dumbing in 2008 with it's a study conducted by a German university. They were more interested in the pedology aspect, but they provided soil carbon and soil bulk density information that is critical for inventory studies. And my colleague Alberto Inda has also done some pedology studies in the area, so we could benefit from previous data, including some data that was not published up to date. So our approach is based on existing legacy data, as it's currently called, and our field study. Here you have a more clear view of how these land uses occupy the study area, and we benefited from a recent project called the MAP Bioma, MAP Biome program project, that is a collaborative study involving multiple universities benefiting from the Google Earth engine that has produced annual maps of land use at a nominal scale of 1 to 100,000. So this is a recent addition. We updated some of Giovanni's studies, the results and maps with these new maps that have been put out by the MAP Bioma project. Soil sampling followed the IPCC or Brazilian recommendations for soil carbon inventory. We used dug pits, and in this case we sampled in three different depths, from 10 to 30 centimeter depth. And I'll talk a little bit more about the soil carbon stocks and soil depth later on. Of course, we needed soil bulk density and soil carbon concentration information that was obtained using the traditional common methods such as volumetric rings and elemental analysis. We also benefited from a previous study conducted by other German groups, and you see there's a lot of German people working in collaboration with us in southern Brazil these days. They were conducting an ecology project, and they sampled around 90 different areas or research sites in our study region. So we had GPS coordinates and a lot of land use information So that helped us to go back to the places that they had checked, visited originally, and we adopted an approach that would obtain three subsamples based on the central point from the German study. And we also conducted additional checks to verify the A to B horizon transition so that we could attempt a provisional, I would say, soil classification. This was not a pedology study. We were focusing on soil carbon stocks. So we didn't really need to classify soils, but to produce a map based on the soil survey map, that would be necessary. So as far as results, here you have a table showing how we evolved from the previous studies. If we use the IPCC, where is the arrow here? It's not showing. Okay, here we go. The IPCC reference carbon stocks that are recommended when you don't have any field work, field data to go by. You see there's not much variation. 88 megagrams per hectare, and I missed the units there, but it's megagrams carbon stock per hectare. So not much variation if you go by the reference stocks. Using Bernou and collaborators' data from 2003, you see that there is more variation. He used a lot of most of the available soil profiles to produce his map. So there's more detail. And in 2009, we used all the available information in state to produce a new map. And you see that the data shows some differences, but remarkably, you can see that, for example, our mean for the 2009 study compares well with the IPCC global averages. So that's interesting to note. But here in our study, you see that we got way stocks, soil carbon stocks, way different from the previous studies. We could identify higher soil carbon content by going to this area with a standard protocol. Here are the results breaking down soil classes and land use. And you see that this is a fairly unbalanced approach. We didn't have a lot of samples for some soil class, soil use combinations, such as the grasslands and woodland under the udults. These are less common soils in that area, so we sample more intensively in the most common soils. And you see one land use that is growing here is the forestry under pinus, pine trees that have been introduced in this area in the last 30 years. We didn't get many samples in those areas, but they still cover a limited part of the area. So as far as regional extrapolations, a soil map for the region, you see that we could identify variation from 116 to 233 megagrams of carbon per hectare, much higher than the previous studies, because we could actually go to the field and identify transition to or use better data because we obtained it ourselves, or we relied on previous studies that were conducted with greater concern with soil carbon. So one question is, have we improved in earlier soil maps? I would believe so, but you can judge it by yourself. You see the first map would be using the IPCC general soil carbon stocks for the world. Little variation. These soils would combine into basically two classes according to the simplified IPCC, I wouldn't call it soil taxonomy, but soil classification for soil carbon inventories. And then Bernou's study to the right here, and I lose the arrow again. Huh? There is some more variation, but you see that there are some mismatches between the land use map and the soil survey the Brazilian soil map that he used, different scales, different approaches to map those different maps. So it looks like a fairly strange map, but he was working on a national scale, and when you zoom in these kinds of maps, you usually see this weird features that we are seeing. And our previous studies in 2009, we improved it because we had finer scale maps, so this is more consistent to what we see in the field, low-lying areas near the rivers and flatter rolling hills dominating this island grasslands. And of course, our study adds a lot more refinement as in comparison to the previous studies. So I would wrap it up summarizing that our approach was based on field sampling, legacy data from previous studies, and we used a simple GIS approach to assign this carbon soil carbon stocks to combination of soil classes and land use classes. So we added detail, we refined the information available concerning soil carbon stocks in this area. One key limitation that I must mention is we only provide data to the topsoil, 30 centimeters depth. The only way we could overcome this would be using hydraulic core borers. Soils, when they are deep enough in this area, they are very clay, 50 to 60% clay. If you do it by hand, you'll ruin your equipment. Students will probably quit. So we need some additional equipment, such as a probe, a hydraulic probe, a corer, to go back and go deeper, as is recommended these days, at least to 1 meter. That would be ideal for soil inventory studies, but unfortunately, that's all we could, that's how deep we could go with the available work force and materials. Possible improvements besides the sampling tools would be finer scale soil surveys that are proposed now in Brazil. There's a national program to produce finer scale maps, semi-detailed soil maps for the whole country. We'll see how that pans out. And of course, the land use maps are always critical, but with this new project or similar projects such as the map biomes benefiting from the Google Earth engine or similar approaches, this is not currently such a limiting factor. And of course, we can always add what is very popular these days, the digital soil mapping. So that would be another approach to extrapolate this soil carbon data in this region and other areas. We've done some of this, or my colleagues have worked with this in smaller areas, and there is great potential, but again, the field data is key here. So if you don't have good field data, your digital soil mapping will produce probably worse maps than we have using the simple GIS field study approach. So I thank you for being here today, and if you have any questions, I will gladly try to answer them.